Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, April 18th, 2019. And, you know, I'm not into the headlines yet, and that only as a way to demonstrate the reality of all of this nonsense. The interwebs are a very powerful tool to be used one way or another. And again, I really like the way Jaron Lanier puts it. Everything going on in digital culture, everything from the ideas of open software to the emergent styles of Wikipedia, can be understood in terms of cultural neoteny. There will usually be both a lovely side and a nasty side to neoteny, and they will correspond to the good and the bad sides of what goes on in any playground. And isn't there a playground monitor? So who's in charge of the playground? Who are the self-appointed dictators in the scientific dictatorship of the playground currently? We've seen things happen over the years. You know, I mentioned, speaking of Derry Brownfield and Joan Vion, folks like Barefoot Bob Hardison, who I knew personally. You know, his website is preserved at barefootsworld.org now, fortunately. But you can see the personal expression that used to categorize the interwebs. We used to have stuff that you could see personal expression, like what Bob put together himself on the interwebs. And Jaron Lanier says that we should be doing more of that. And I think he's absolutely right. Personal expression out there. But the trouble is, that's not the intended design and direction of the interwebs. You know? And so there is tremendous power that's possible. The interwebs hold tremendous power through ubiquity. And if you write code, you want to make it reusable, because that's how you really start to create leverage. That's kind of my Achilles heel, quite candidly. Michelangelo has no business on the interwebs. You know, you want to do what Reid Hoffman says and get to your minimum viable product and then iterate and iterate. And that was, you know, Facebook's big brag back in 2011. We iterate like a 500-person company, and that's one of our best virtues. They can change stuff fast. They can move on a dime. And so when you start to think about leverage, I think of a pyramid. I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, you think of at the top of a pyramid, one person basically stands on many and can propagate information to many in this context, versus the folks down toward the bottom of the pyramid on whom the, you know, higher blocks in the pyramid stand. That's the opposite of leverage, where leverage is applied to them and keeping them sort of locked into their little spot in the pyramid. Anyway, that's just a, I don't know, visual sort of anecdotal reference. But there is a very serious intellectual side to this discussion, I believe, and one that people are just not even aware of, let alone having generally. We should be maturing. We should be creating the kind of expression on the web that Jaron Lanier advocates. Fewer and fewer, I mean, you know, YouTube created some stars, some celebrities, sort of, And for a while, you know, Blogspot, WordPress.com, those kinds of platforms created some folks. But are we, what is happening? You know, there are some breakouts every once in a while like those, but what is happening? You know, there's an effort. Google, you know, buys Blogspot, buys YouTube. It's like at every turn where something good happens, you know, either we have to, you know, the creator of a technology like Reddit, somebody has to have an untimely demise, or it has to get acquired or something. Seems that happens at every turn. Instead of creating more of those people and then making sure that that crop of upstarts starts to gravitate in the best direction, because after all, that's what we're told, isn't it? We are better now. We're more enlightened. We're more sophisticated. We're more civilized and intelligent. We're all of these things. But where is the evidence of that? There's a lot of heavy-handedness. All you have to do is look at any of the headlines. We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, to continue with Derry Brownfield, smart growth, people per acre, Health Powers Act. You know, think about that. January 2002, the Model Act, the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, is a blueprint for states to use in passing state legislation that would give state health officials, it's actually the state health official in most states, which, again, I've discussed in years past, the power to quarantine and vaccinate entire populations, even if it is against an individual's will. And this gets right back, as I have said recently, again, to the administrative fourth branch nonsense. You know, Pat McCarran, everybody's friend. Who? Who's ever heard of that guy? Everyone should have heard of that guy. March 12, 1946. He spelled it out. We've set up a fourth order in the tripartite plan of government, which was initiated by the founding fathers of our democracy. They set up the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches. But since that time, we have set up a fourth dimension, if I may so term it, which is now popularly known as administrative in nature. But it wasn't formalized. They hadn't made a formal declaration until the Administrative Procedure Act, and that was it. So we have the legislative, the executive, the judicial, and the administrative. McCarran said, Senate Judiciary Chairman, Senator Pat McCarran, United States Senator, saying this. This is not a government of men, he said. It is a government of law. Sounds like, you know, the skullduggery of Skull and Bonesman, George Herbert Walker Bush, right? Not the law of the jungle. And this law is a thing, he said, which every day from its enactment until the end of time, so far as this government is concerned, will touch every citizen of the republic. Do you think he was being literal? I do. Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act, the purpose of which is to improve the administration of justice. Blah. No, thank you. By prescribing fair administrative procedure. No, thank you. It sounds like sophistry because it is sophistry. So anyway, he said Senate Bill 7 is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. America, are you controlled by agencies of the federal government? Do you have a driver's license? Do you carry a social security card? Do you have all of the other accoutrements? Let me say, McCarran said, to the senators now present, and I think I can speak for the Committee on the Judiciary, that I do not believe a more important piece of legislation has been or will be presented to the Congress of the United States. So this is a Bill of Rights, he said. More important piece of legislation has been or will be presented to the Congress of the United States than the one which I am trying in my humble way to explain to the Senate today, because it deals with something which touches the most lowly as well as the most elevated and lofty citizen in the land. Reiterating this, what did he just say? This law is a thing which every day from its enactment until the end of time, so far as this government is concerned, will touch every citizen of the Republic. He's talking about our democracy, but he says it will touch every citizen of the Republic. Think about it. So he says it's a very important piece of legislation because it deals with something which touches the most lowly as well as the most elevated and lofty citizen in the land. He's reiterating the same concept that he already articulated. It touches every phase and form of human activity, and it deals with that which at the opening of my statement I described as the fourth dimension. Fourth dimension, is it the Twilight Zone? The fourth dimension or fourth branch of our democracy. Wait, democracy or republic, which is it? Yeah, see, you got to understand, when you make a deal with the devil, when you make a handshake with the devil, you pass from the republic into the democracy, and through the looking glass, down the rabbit hole you go. The tyrant's majority then will beat you into submission. In other words, McCarran said, by the Constitution, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches of our government were set up, but now we have a fourth branch, the administrative form of our government. A fourth branch. Yeah, but you know, I'm probably just one of those folks that Bertrand Russell wrote about that has a morbid eccentricity. Morbid taste for eccentricity, as he put it. Because continuing, as I've mentioned previously, when McCarran cited the 1937 President's Committee on Administrative Management report, and there's the, you know, one of the other subplots in this, how the mechanics or the dynamics are played out to advance certain agendas. The Brookings-Brownlow feud is an interesting read, which I've mentioned from time to time. It talks about this era, and you know, basically the takeaway is, can Satan cast out Satan, as Jesus put it? No. Then what's going on here? Put up job. What's really happening? Brownlow Brookings feud. So McCarran cited the 1937 President's Committee on Administrative Management report, and he said the independent administrative agencies of the federal government have been said to constitute a headless fourth branch of the government, a haphazard deposit of irresponsible agencies and uncoordinated powers, but not really. I mean, to the general public it looks that way, but there is influence that's being applied behind, or shall we say, below the CNN line. Are you telling me that Donald Trump thinks up policy all by himself and in a vacuum, doesn't talk to anybody? He writes policy while he's tweeting, things like that. Barack Obama wrote policy. You know, we're supposed to believe that the Green New Deal was written by a couple of greenhorns over a weekend. And now we should talk about it as serious economic policy. This is what America is buying into. These, again, chimerical notions, these fanciful tales. America, stop. Stop. Seriously. Get a hold of yourself. Get it together. The independent administrative agencies of the federal government have been said to constitute a headless fourth branch of government, a haphazard deposit of irresponsible agencies and uncoordinated powers whose institution does violence to the basic theory of the American Constitution that there should be three major branches of the government and only three. See, I'm one of those, you know, people that Bertrand Russell writes about in The Impact of Science on Society. The scientific dictatorship will instill in its plebes this certain set of beliefs, and folks like me who don't subscribe to those, I must have a morbid taste for eccentricity or something, because I agree with the President's Committee on Administrative Management Report to the extent that I believe these agencies do violence to the basic theory of the American Constitution, that there should be three major branches and only three. And there should be three. And that's the point. There should be three and only three. Because you fast forward 70 years, R.J. Pastrito writes in the Birth of the Administrative State, where it came from and what it means to limit a government, citing Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, published in the Harvard Law Review, that these agencies routinely combine the separation of powers, executive, legislative, and judicial, all in the same agency, and often in the same individual. Yeah, but what's the point? Who cares? Fast forward to Derry Brownfield, 2002. Health Powers Act. Model State Emergency Health Powers Act is a blueprint for states to use in passing state legislation that will give state health officials the power to quarantine and vaccinate entire populations, even if it is against an individual's will. What did Bertrand Russell write in The Impact of Science on Society? Oh, yeah. Diet, injections, and injunctions. What do those three words mean? We'll combine. What does that mean? Diet, injections, and injunctions. It's happening right before our very eyes, but it's not happening because it can't happen here. Except when it does, like now. Wake up, America. Diet injections and injunctions. Parents have been conscripted to this evil and subterfuge. The devil's errand of subverting a once possibly great nation. Possibly, you know, we have our own issues. We have our own housekeeping historically, sure. But, you know, potential has been there. This melting pot, you know, if we could get together on the same page, we gotta understand. What does it mean to be American? Because we have people from different groups and cultures from all around the world. What does it mean to be American? And if you can't clearly define that, well, then guess what? You might fall prey, might fall victim to something. Is that where we are? Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel, with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. These folks, Derry Brownfield, Joan Vian, these are just a couple. You know, these folks are people who have been telling us for years. And, you know, you look, speaking of leverage, you look at the talking points that come out of places like, you know, the Sierra Club, World Wildlife Fund, I don't know, you know, the CSIS, the RAND Corporation, Brookings, Atlantic Council, the G30, the Group of 30, things like these organizations. Folks have been telling us for years, decades, listen to what they're saying, and that information should be preserved. That, you know, those should be backed up somewhere. Maybe multiple somewheres, but that starts to get expensive. There's a lot of heavy lifting involved, potentially. Maybe not. But, you know, we don't have untold billions at our disposal. There's no $18 billion that's been set aside. Republic Broadcasting, to my knowledge, doesn't have any grants from the, you know, name it, MacArthur, Knight, Sloan, Rockefeller, Ford Foundation, no grants. And so it's difficult. And, you know, you have the psychological implications and connotations. You know, how many of us have watched Aaron Russo's America Freedom to Fascism recently, or Joan Vion's When Central Banks Rule the World? Like, how do you even find that? Well, News with Views has preserved it, let alone, you know, I mean, When Central Banks Rule the World, from Bretton Woods 1 to Bretton Woods 2 is a good watch, you know? This video builds on 21st century feudalism and 2008 credit crisis. 21st century feudalism? Gosh, that sounds like what John Adams wrote in a dissertation on the canon and feudal law, and what Jim Trafficking echoed in 1993. Since 1994, Joan has covered 100 global meetings seeking answers to the evolving economic trends and many of the world issues we are faced with today and beyond. So, you know, someone who walks up and says, "Hey, Mario Draghi, I got a question." No, we're not supposed to remember that. Who has rewatched The Minds of Men recently and has circulated it among friends? Nah, it's not streaming. It's not cool. It's not, you know, it's not Vines. It's not 8-second idiocy. So, you know, it's not entertaining. This is kind of what I mean. You know, why do I disparage the interwebs? I don't per se, but, you know, there are all of these control mechanisms that are built in. And, you know, it just doesn't lend itself. You know, what should be uniquely American, perhaps, not really, but, you know, if we consider anything in our DNA, so to speak, uniquely American, it's this idea of separation of powers. And the sort of abhorrent nature of monopolies, and we should all consider them repugnant, and we should be repelled by the concept. Yet we are encouraged to gravitate toward them by the monopolists. It's just astonishing what is happening. Faster and faster. We need to have a lobster revolution in America, and people need to unplug and go read something and then get together and share what they've read a little bit, not in a manipulative social engineering consensus building sort of fashion, but just to build on one another's knowledge. As a principled foundation for life. And then, you know, pass it on, basically. People don't talk anymore. They don't even see each other. Oh, I'm sorry. No, they were FaceTiming, so they saw each other. It was real. You know, get together in the presence of one another. The world is a smaller place. If that's a good thing at all, it's that it can bring people together. But we don't appreciate these things. Again, inflation of the currency in any medium seems to devalue it. That seems to be a rule. So when people can get together more easily, they don't value the ability to get together. You know, kind of like the phones. We just took it for granted, and now we're on to the next thing. And now we can FaceTime 30 people at the same time. So what's the next great miracle of modern science? There needs to be a sobriety that accompanies all of these things. But again, was Jaron Lanier right? Is neoteny a concept that's sort of inherently baked into technology and the interwebs in particular? Digital technology? Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product, and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, April 18th, 2019. I don't even know if we'll bother getting into the subject of Easter this year. I'm not trying to step on any toes or anything, but we need to understand the commingling of things. Does that pollute something? Does it leaven something? So, you know, it's a big weekend. There's that. You know, what is Easter? It's not Ishtar. It's not Ishtar. You know, don't read too much into it. I mean, what do bunnies and eggs and chocolate have to do with the resurrection of Christ? I don't know. I'm confused, but I'm not supposed to read too far into it. I think I want to play a couple of these clips. We'll do this real fast. We'll play one, and then I'll come to the other one a little bit later. But, you know, so this one only has 152 views right now. It's going to have it'll have a few more listens right now. But Jaron Lanier on what is artificial intelligence? His his wit and wisdom are brilliant, in my opinion. So here's this first. Go ahead.
What is AI from your perspective? And I'd love to, you know. Yeah.
Well, this goes back to the previous question. Is AI something outside of ourselves, or is it extension, an intelligence augmentation of us? And I don't think that there's a market plan for toasters that don't want to give you toast because it has something better to do that morning, or a bomb that decides it doesn't want to bomb because it likes the person that you're trying to bomb. You know, there's no market plan for truly self-aware, self-determined robotics, except for those who perhaps want to continue their own consciousness in an emulation of their brain. That's a particular market plan. Other than that, I don't see a great market plan for that. So for the rest of it, it's an extension of human intelligence into the world, and therefore we call that intelligence augmentation as opposed to artificial intelligence.
Andrew Keen, do you want to take the question as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jerome should define artificial intelligence. He's probably the most suitable of everyone. He gets it more than anyone.
AI is more than anything else a funding category for research. And no, I mean, it's like, it incorporates a wide range of disciplines and pursuits that might or might not have been bundled together, and they were bundled by historical accident in many cases. AI steps on its own foot periodically. What happens is there's a kind of a crazy wild-eyedness of like, oh, we're about to understand how to replicate a person, and then the funders are like, boy, you sure didn't deliver. And then there's this thing called an AI winter that keeps on happening, and then you watch your grad students having their careers ruined, and then it finally happens again. But, like, we step on our own feet constantly with this fantasy life, and if we could only just be good engineers and scientists, we would free ourselves from this burden of just constant self-destruction.
Okay, Andrew, I think you might be regretting passing that.
Are these AI winters getting shorter and the summers are longer? And at some point, is it going to become real? Because my experience in Silicon Valley as an entrepreneur rather than as a technologist is it's always a question of timing. So Jerome's right about AI being a category for researchers, but now it's a category for entrepreneurs. You wander into a VC and you say, you know, I've got AI for this, AI for that, and they'll write you a check.
Lately, the VC will say, oh, I spent all my money on VR startups.
Brilliant stuff. Very insightful from a guy who knows. Anyway, I wish more people were listening to him. How come we're not seeing Jaron Lanier everywhere and we're not taking his advice? I want to go back to Derry Brownfield in a moment. But first, to the phones, Rhonda in Missouri. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. Hey.
Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks. You?
I'm all right. Hey, you had mentioned earlier in your program that the governor had done an executive order in Missouri for smart cities, and I wanted to find out what date that was.
That was a Derry Brownfield article from a million years ago, and
so it could have been under the Obama administration, right?
I think it was Bush, actually.
Oh, Bush. Okay, so, well, isn't that guy up in the, he's in high parts of government. Was that Ashcroft or something? I don't know. Anyway, okay, so it's an old article.
Mm-hmm.
Do they ever pull back on those at all? You know, do they ever have an executive order that you're aware of that they, you know, reverse?
No.
Are you aware of anything? No?
They usually get amended, it's my understanding, but really not repealed. That was one of the, to me, that was one of the big, that was one of the reasons I was cautiously optimistic in the early days of the Trump administration, was because Donald Trump was saying, we're going to repeal two regulations for every new one that we pass. And that sounded promising. You know, I don't understand why it makes sense to anyone that if something is bad, the way to improve it is to pass more legislation and to add another layer on the onion. Obviously, I don't know, to even the most unsophisticated policymaker, it seems that the idea would be to repeal something that's bad as opposed to, you know, pruning a bad tree, as I would call it, because when you prune evil, you get more of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I keep hearing some guy calling to these shows and talking about how he used to live in Missouri and how in Missouri, and even Vince Finelli mentioned it on John's show the other day, Missouri, you can't even talk about, you know, gun legislation. So I'm like, okay, come on. You know, if you're not going to take the guns and you're going to make everybody move into a smart city, that's genius.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But, okay, well, I want to see where they're at with that one. So I wanted to find out the date that was.
Derry Brownfield article was April 5, 2002. That was the article was the smart growth people per acre article. So he wrote, Missouri's governor has issued a smart growth executive order, and our colleges are holding seminars and teaching courses on the subject. So again, you know, how do we go back to, you know, quickly go back to Derry Brownfield's archives, put our fingers on that information. And I think, if I understand right, you know, the Missouri chapter of the Sierra Club, there's an article that I just grabbed, putting smart growth into context. October 22nd, 2001, following are the prepared remarks of Ron McClendon to a League of Women Voters Forum on smart growth held in Columbia, Missouri, October 22, 2001. I think it might be in here. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, the little, this is all early stuff. Kansas City Environmental Management Department, Kansas City Regional Transit Alliance. I think it might
okay,
be.
Okay, well, I don't see it moving forward, you know, but I mean, I don't get to Kansas City, or, I mean, it's, you know, fairly large state, so
mm-hmm.
I just, besides too many apartment complexes going in down the street, I don't know, but that's
yeah.
right outside of St. Louis, so we're like, I don't know, 30-minute, 40-minute drive from the city, so I just, you know, wanted to see where they were on that, and, I mean, I guess they could sit on it, do you think? Do nothing
Absolutely.
With it?
Absolutely, and that gets right back to what John Adams was saying. I mean, that's one of the big reasons that I mentioned that folks should read John Adams' letters to William Tudor, specifically about James Otis, and Adams' letters were back in 1818, over the summer and into the fall of 1818, beginning June 1, and I think wrapping up around September or October, something like that. But it was a series of letters, and John Adams basically says that James Otis's defense of the Boston merchants against writs of assistance as just blanket sort of warrants that officials could just walk into any business or any house and take stuff, basically is what it ended up being. But that in combination with some revenue laws that had been on the books for about a half a century already or more in some cases. And so that was the point that John Adams was making. He was saying these laws were lying dormant until the opportune moment that writs of assistance sort of brought them to life, and these revenue agents would basically say, we have this writ of assistance. Here's this law that's been on the books for, you know, 50 years, and so you owe us this or that or whatever, and it became very arbitrary. And so that's always a danger. I mean, we've seen it historically. I mean, one of the big examples is the, you know, again, the Senate committee in 1973 to terminate the national emergency, and they identified all of these powers that the executive has that constitute dictatorial powers, but that they've been on the books, and we were told in times of crisis here and there we need to do these things, but they were never repealed. So the
and then I imagine if oh go ahead sorry
well I was just going to say that from 1973 fast forward by 1976 there was already an effort to abuse the research that had been conducted in the 1973 Senate committee to terminate the national emergency. By 76, there was already an effort to use those findings to do more bad things. And then the big one, in my opinion, is the big sort of evidence of that is you fast forward to September 18, 2001, a week after September 11, 2001, and you have the CRS report 98-505, National Emergency Powers Update, September 18, 2001, that refers to that Senate committee, the Senate committee's findings back in 1973 as a justification for dictatorial powers to validate your point. Basically, the Bush 2 administration was saying, so on page 3 of the document, it reads, lastly, so it was the Senate committee to terminate the national emergency, and that is footnoted in the report, U.S. Congress Senate Special Committee on the Termination, as in to terminate the national emergency. But referring to that CRS report 98-505, September 18, 2001 update reads, lastly, there are various standby laws which convey special emergency powers once the president formally declares a national emergency, activating them. In 1973, a special Senate Special Committee studying emergency powers published a compilation identifying some 470 provisions of federal law delegating to the executive extraordinary authority in time of national emergency. But it's almost it seems like it's an attempt to say, see, this gives us these powers, whereas the context in the Senate committee to terminate the national emergency was, it's scary, as you can read from the introduction of the report. You know, they basically said this gives the president dictatorial powers. That's not a good thing. The context was bad. Whereas the Bush 2 administration uses this and basically says, see, it's okay. We have these powers, and Congress even said so back in the 70s. So,
well, I think that's true on every level. But here's another thing to consider. So if this is an old executive order, and you're like me, you know, you're like, well, they didn't do anything with it, you're not going to get a lot of people up in arms and going, no, because they'll say they didn't do anything with it. They're not going to do anything with it. You're not going to get anybody excited about it doing anything, like, you know, saying no. You know what I mean?
Right. But that's part of the sort of anesthetization of the American public, because there was a time, and I'm getting to an article by Jerry Brownfield, January 13, 2008, titled Our Stupid Ancestors, which is an interesting, insightful little look. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when people would get excited because, I mean, think about it. People, who has time to go cook up some legislation? Who has time, who has money to spend on putting out some legislation that may or may not even get passed? And if you're not intending to do something with it, why would you do it? And we have repeated examples of bad guys writing in academia or in think tanks or whatever, particularly over the course of the 20th century, about certain agendas, and then trying to bring those agendas to fruition in their service, so-called, in the halls of, government and so forth. And so why wouldn't we believe that, you know, people are going to act on things that they've said or written when given the opportunity? And these pieces of legislation aren't just arbitrary. These executive orders are not just arbitrary. They don't just, you know, nobody is willy-nilly saying, well, maybe I'll just do this.
All right, well, that's all I wanted. Thanks for taking my call, Chris.
You bet, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. Bye.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. I seem to recall a guy writing, when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. I seem to recall reading those words somewhere. That should be written on our DNA somewhere. You know, CRISPR's probably not going to write that on our DNA. And by the way, that was fast, wasn't it? Speaking of headlines, I haven't even got to that, but what was the one that I saw about that? So, you know, China's doing some stuff. I mean, I've been talking about fake burgers for years, how they want to, you know, technocrats want to grow a burger in a zero marginal cost society. We need to get people out of the equation. eliminate people, which is what Bill Gates says. You know, carbon emissions could be reduced if we could reduce one number in this equation. Funny how, you know, technocrats, environmentalists, eugenicists, socialists, they're all in the same camp, and it's they want to eliminate their fellow man, impose their will, or, you know, eliminate their fellow man. So what was the CRISPR headline, you know? I mean, just the stuff, man. That, I mean, I'm horrified. I'll mention some of them, but I really am loath to mention any of it, because Jim Nantz on Tiger Woods Masters win, it's the best thing I've ever covered. Yeah, I'm not a Jim Nantz fan. I still think he's a fairly repugnant individual, but I digress. Where is that? That's annoying. I just saw it this morning. Yeah, that's not. The, you know, Chinese government may be experimenting with CRISPR, may not. And the headline that I saw this morning that I can't find now is basically, you know, we're using it on people, on humans, is what the article stated. In America. And it, what was that, 2 weeks, a month? You know, that's the conditioning that's going on. It's not that this is news or that it's a new thing, but, you know, just the conditioning and the tightening of that cycle. Stick around. Third hour coming up. We'll be right back. Go back to the phones.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.